Darwinism and or modern technology is taking us into some new directions. In fact, anyone here in my generation can testify with me that this today's world is not the same world that we once knew.
Amen.
Is there a witness? In my generation, today's world is a different location. It's a different experience than when it was when I came through when I was growing up. Matter of fact, for example, back in the day when Debbie and I, when we would be getting ready to drive out of town to another city or another state, back then I used to have to go to AAA and get a trip tick. Anybody remember a trip tick? I used to have to go to AAA. For those of you who made it, for the millennials who are here, who may not know what a triptych is, back then, when we would be getting ready to drive to another city or state, I went and got a triptych. And what that meant is that the AAA, you would literally sit down with an agent who would sit down across from you with a map.
Yes, it did.
With a little map and a highlighter.
Yes, it did.
And the agent would highlight for you the route or interstate that you were to take to get to the city or state that you needed to go to. And then they would give you a tour book of the city or state and send you merrily on your way. That was back in the day. And then we graduated to MapQuest with the computer. And then with MapQuest, you know, you were able to type in your direction and be able to pull up directions to the city or state. And then you could print them out. Remember that? Well, today all of that is obsolete, because most drivers today have a GPS either built into their car or on their smartphone or both. Now, most of us here today know that GPS stands for Global Positioning System. Global Positioning System. And it's really awesome technology, because with the Global Positioning System, the GPS, anywhere you are on the planet, that's on land, a GPS can locate you, position you, and give you directions for anywhere you need to go on the planet. And when you really think about that, on a planet, on land, when you really think about that, that's awesome technology. But it's kind of scary also. Because it makes me think, or it makes us think, well, if the technology can do that, who else can locate me? Or who else can know where I'm at? And in that sense, it's kind of scary. But today, I have come to tell you today that there is someone else who knows your location.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And there is someone else who knows where you're at.
Amen.
At all times, anytime. There is someone else who's somebody, capital S, who not only knows your location, but can position you and give you directions, watch this, for anywhere that he wants you to go. And that is our Lord, our Savior. That's our Lord God Almighty. He is our GPS, in other words. He is the church's GPS. He is a global positioning son of God. And he can not only know your location, but he can position you for blessings anywhere on the globe, anywhere on the planet, and can direct you to the place that you need to be to experience those blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he's an awesome God. God is a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. And here, there's another acronym that describes God that fits the GPS acronym symbol, and that is our God. He's a great, powerful Savior.
Amen.
That's what he is, and that also fits the GPS acronym. He is a great, he's a powerful Savior.
Amen.
And that is exactly what the Spirit of God wanted the Israelites to know as they were preparing to go into the promised land. He wanted them to know that our God is great, he's powerful, and he's a Savior. And he is the GPS today of the church. There's something that our GPS, our heavenly GPS, can do that an earthly GPS cannot do. Our GPS, our great powerful Savior, our global positioning Son of God, not only can he take us to where he wants us to go, that's a very important difference, because wherever our God wants us to go is a good place. Would you agree with that? Yeah. It's a good place. Not only can he take us to where he wants us to go, but once we get there, he can drive out the roadblocks that's in front of us. An earthly GPS can't do that, but a heavenly GPS can. He can remove the roadblocks once we get there, even human roadblocks. And we typically call them our enemies, right? Well, God can remove them out of the way to get us to where God would have us. Yeah, he can. Where God would have us to be. And that is the central thrust of this message, where God, even in the Old Testament, far before earthly GPSs were created or constructed, he wanted Israel to know that there was a GPS always in existence. It was their great powerful Savior, Amen. Our Almighty God. And listen, with that in mind, listen to what he says to this new generation. He's rehearsing for them what he told their parents 40 years prior than the time that he's talking to them. Matter of fact, they were children when Moses was preaching this initial sermon to their parents. They were little kids. Now they're grown up. They're adults with their own children. And Moses is going back telling them what he said to their parents. He said in verse 29, take a look at this. I said to you, and here again, this is their parents, do not be terrified. Why would he say that? Because their parents sent spies over there, remember? Mm-hmm. And they came back with an evil report that I know God said he's given us this place. I know God said he can take us there, but there's giants over there and there's fortified cities. Moses tells them, do not be terrified and do not be afraid of them. Watch this. The Lord your God, watch our GPS, watch our great powerful Savior. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you. Isn't that good? He will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness. First of all, one of the first things that I want us to understand as a body of believers here at the New Hope Church is that God has a destination for us. God has a place for us to go. I have never been as convinced as I am today, now, that God is preparing us for some places and spaces that God wants us to go, spiritually speaking, because God got a work for us to do. I mean, it should be evident from the testimonies that's given, from the experiences we're having, that God wants to use this church, New Hope, to fulfill his will and purposes, because God has a plan for where he wants us to be to do his perfect will. He's our GPS. But it will at times be challenging. It will at times be frightening. It will at times be kind of scary. But I say to you what Moses said to those Israelites close to 4,000 years ago. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. You got a GPS. The Lord your God, watch this. He goes before you. We're not out there on our own. We're not seeking to do something apart from our God who goes before us. And this verse pictures God as a fighter. The Lord your God, watch this, will go before you. And the text said he will fight for you. It kind of pictures God as a fighter. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, who do you know? I don't care how big they are. I don't care how terrifying they talk. I don't care how much smack, how much stuff they talk. Who do you know can handle our God? God. Nobody, right? God will fight for you. And that is an Old Testament and biblical way of letting us know that God will take care of our opponents. God will take care of our enemies, but do what God is sending us forth to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do not be afraid. Our great powerful Savior, GPS, will clear the way for us. I like to say it this way. He's pictured here as a fighter. The Lord is going before you. In verse 30, it says, who will fight for you. He's our heavyweight champ. They put it that way. That's what God is for us. He's our heavyweight champ. And back in the day, I grew up back in the day when it wasn't WWF wrestling. Mm-hmm. I grew up when it was called studio wrestling. But Bill Cardillo, I don't know if anybody here remember. Well, some other people in my generation may remember. That's when I really, you know, that's when to me wrestling was real. Y'all didn't hear that, right? That's when to me, when Bill Cardillo and studio wrestling was on. And we had a hometown champion. And that's his name was thing. His name was Bruno Sammartino. Bruno was big. Bruno was hairy chest. Bruno had big muscle. Bruno had big arms. And I was thinking about God being our fighter. And I thought about Bruno back in the day, because if there was any bully, I said, man, if Bruno was your uncle and somebody was messing with you down Manchester Elementary School, and somebody was picking on you, if Bruno walked down to school and hold your hand, you would have no worry. You would have absolutely no worry, because Bruno back then was the heavyweight champion of studio. It was back then, it was called studio wrestling. Well, let me tell you something. Somebody's on the scene who's bigger than Bruno. Somebody's on the scene who's badder than Bruno. Somebody's on the scene who's stronger than Bruno. And he goes before us. And the text says he'll buck up for us. He'll fight for us. He's our heavyweight champ. I feel good about what God is doing and where God is taking New Hope, because I know we're doing it the Bible way. And I found out from studying, I found out from experience, that when we do anything the Bible's way, God is going to fight for you. Amen. God is going to clear the way for you. God is going to make the way for you. God is going to take you to where he wants you to be, where he wants us to be, because he has a purpose. Amen. He has a purpose. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is preparing the way. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide thee with my eye. That's Psalm 32:8. He is our great, powerful Savior. He's our global positioning Savior. God will lead us. According to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 4, our global positioning Son of God has the ability to make crooked roads straight. Yes. And rough roads smooth. Amen. He can do that and does do that for his people. He will clear the way for us. In the game of football, I love the game of football. Offensive linemen are usually big, and offensive linemen are tasked with the job of clearing the way for the running back to run the ball. And back when I was coming up playing football, the old school coaches used to call that running interference, when big offensive linemen would get in front of the runner, the running back, and would interfere with whoever was trying to tackle with you. They called it, your line would run interference for you. And what that means is they would block for you. They would, whoever was coming up to tackle you, they would hit them and knock them out the way. We call that a block. Knock them on their can and clear the way for you to run the ball. Well, that's what God does for us. Amen. God is like those offensive linemen who clear the way for us to run the ball of his purpose. Yes. Oh, yes. And when the enemy tries to come up and tackle us, yes, that God is running interference for us. He's interfering with anyone who tries to tackle with us, because he's clearing the way for us. He's knocking the enemy where the enemy needs to be, so we can run the ball of purpose and score touchdowns for Jesus. The angels lift up their hand. You know, this means touchdown. You see the angels with their hands lifted. Thank you, Sue. Because God is clearing the way for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But notice the details of the text. I want you to take a look at it with me. All Bibles open, phones on, Deuteronomy 1, correct? Yes. Now, look at verse 30 with me, because this is for us, New Hope. The Lord your God is going before you. He'll fight for you as he did for you in Egypt. Notice that. As he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. Don't miss that. God is going somewhere with this. And in the wilderness. In other words, God has not just start being good to you. God hasn't just started making a way for you. God's been good to you and making a way for you all along the way. And what God is wanting us to understand from the text is that, let me say it this way. It pays to have a history with God.
Amen.
It pays to have experiential knowledge with God. It pays to have been walking with God and talking with God, because God is actually calling on them and us when we think that we're in a tough place, when we think we're in between a rock and a hard place.
Uh-huh.
Think what God has already done for you.
Amen.
Think about your history with God. Your experiential knowledge with God lets you know that God has already done some good things for you. God has already made some pathways for you. God has already made a way for you. So when you come up against it now, it's no big deal, because the God who made a way for me then is the same God that'll make a way for me now. And he don't take summer breaks. He don't even sleep or slumber. Matter of fact, when we sleep or slumber, God is up working things out on our behalf while we taking naps. Because he don't take naps. Amen. And that's the idea here. That's what he's saying to them. He says, the God who's going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt. Remember what he did for you in Egypt? He delivered them from Pharaoh and 430 years of Egyptian bondage. Remember, they were slaves. But God, Passover day, the blood of the lamb, delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. And then they got in a tight place. Remember the Red Sea. Egyptians behind them, Red Sea before them. God wants them to remember what he did for them then. When Pharaoh and Egyptians were bearing down on them, they were scared and crying out. God tells Moses to tell them, don't cry out. He says, stand still, be still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, when the enemy is bearing down on you, God is not calling you to fight. God says, I'll fight for you. Just be still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. What's that in your hand, Moses? A rod? Stretch it out, Moses. When Moses stretched out his rod, which I believe is symbolism for the power of the Holy Ghost, the Red Sea split. And the people walked across on dry ground. Remember that as you go to deal with these enemies. I did that for you then. Don't you know that I'll work for you now? Don't you know I will drive them? If I can do that then, I can handle your enemies now.
Amen.
It's not just the Israelites. Let me see if I got a witness here. Since you've been walking with the Lord, has God helped anybody in here?
Amen.
Since you've been walking with Jesus?
Amen.
Has God made a way for anybody since you've been saved?
Amen.
Has God helped you?
Yes.
Has God put clothes on your back?
Yes.
Food on your table?
Yes.
A roof over your head?
Yes.
Put clothes on your kids?
Yes.
Sent your kids to school?
Yes.
Kept them safe?
Yes.
Sent them to college?
Yes.
Gave your children jobs?
Yes.
That's nobody but the Lord.
That's nobody.
Do you think that God would do all of that then and not work with you now? I can tell you something. God is too gracious to do that. God is too merciful. God is too good. Now, he wants us to line up with him now. Don't get me wrong. He wants us to line up, follow him. But you have to be a witness that the God we serve is a mighty good God.
Amen.
Who's already done some things for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
I call that having a history with God. He wants you to lean on that. Remember what I did before your eye and in the wilderness. You wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but your clothes didn't get holes in them and your feet didn't swell because I kept you. There you saw how the Lord carried you. You saw with your own eye how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son. Watch this, not some of the way. He carried you all the way.
Amen.
Until you got to this point.
Amen.
You know why some of us are still inhaling and exhaling? If the devil would have had his way, some of us sitting in the sanctuary today, if the devil would have had his way, we would be 6 feet under right now. We would have been dead a long time ago. But the reason why you're able to sit here today, still inhale and exhale, is God has carried you, not some of the way, God has carried you all the way until this very moment, until this very day. I know for myself, I could have been dead on many occasions a long time ago. If it had not been for the goodness of the Lord,
amen,
who brought me all the way.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Remember your history with God. Remember what God has already done for you. It will build you for what he's going to do for you. That's why the second point of your outline reads like this. Build your future faith on what God has already done. You can trust him for the future because you know he's already have done some great things for you. Now, would you turn to 1 Samuel? I hope you put a pen in it. 17. I want to read this. This is awesome because this is exactly what David did. Anybody here remember David?
Yes.
As in King David?
Yes.
1 Samuel chapter 17. David's GPS, his great, powerful Savior, sent him to a battlefield when he was a teenager. He wasn't even old enough to be in the Israeli army. But because he was sent there by his GPS, he was sent there for a purpose. And I'm wanting by the Spirit of God to know that God has a purpose for the New Hope Church. God has a purpose, and God is going to take us some places to fulfill his will and purpose for purposes that he has for us to fulfill as a church. But watch when David gets to the battlefield, he's taking some food for his brothers who are older than him and they're in the Israeli army. But David happens to see a giant there who's taunting Israel and calling them out and talking about their God, playing the dozens. Millennials, that's old school. I ain't going to explain what it means. You'll get it from the context. But he's talking about them. He's talking about their God. David shows up because a GPS sent them there. And notice what it says in verse 32. Do you have 1 Samuel 17, 32?
Amen.
Then David said to Saul, who was the king, who was scared to go fight this giant, and all the other Israelites too. David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And what I want you to get from this is David can talk boldly because David has a history with God.
Yeah.
David has experiential knowledge of what God has already done for him.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Amen. And so Saul says, verse 33 to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. Do you get that? Do you get that? It's like this double talk on words. He says, you're a youth, you can't fight with him, but he's been fighting since his youth. Well, wait a minute. If he can fight from his youth, how come I can't fight from mine? You see that? That's how faithlessness talks. But here's what I want you to see when you're anointed. And I want somebody to know you don't have to be old to be anointed.
Amen.
David's a teenager, probably about 17, but he's anointed. And he's been sent by his GPS. And when you've been sent by your GPS, God will not allow you to take no for an answer because God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
And God has a mission for you to fulfill. This is your mission. This is your call. I'm calling you to this. It don't make any difference what somebody else say. This is what I'm calling you to do. This is the mission that I'm sent. You can't take no for an answer. So notice how David responds. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. He's going into his history with God. Now watch this now. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. David has a history with God.
Yeah.
David is giving his testimony of what God has already done for him. Don't tell me what I can't do against worldly giants when God has already slayed giants in my life. Don't tell me that I can't stick up for the name of my God when God has delivered me from lions and bears. God has already done some stuff for me, and I can't take no for an answer. Verse 35, I went out after it and struck it and delivered it with the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard. I struck it and killed it. Now, he's not talking about kitty cats. He's talking about lions and bears. Only God can give you the anointing for lions and bears. But I've got some news for you. There's some lions and bears in the church. But when you got the anointing,
come on, Pastor.
And a history with God, experiential knowledge of what God can do.
Amen.
So David is getting on a roll now. He's going to talk some cash spiritual stuff, some cash stuff. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He's on a roll now. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. In other words, David said, when I got the anointing, when I'm sent by God for a mission, I didn't even know that I was going to be doing what I got to do. But I recognize now that God sent me to this place for a purpose. Nobody is going to stand in front of me and call my God the names that I'm hearing. I don't care how big he looks. I don't care how tall he is, because God has already done great things for me. He went to his history with God, and what we need to know is when Goliath-like challenges come up in your personal life and the life of the church, don't you get intimidated, don't you get afraid, don't you get scared, because you got experience with God, and God has already paid bills for you when you didn't have money in the bank. God paid bills for you. God sent kids to school and kept them safe for you. God put clothes on your children's back. God put clothes on your back. God made you able to stand on your own two faith feet. Don't tell me what my God can't do. This enemy will be like the lions and the bears, and I slay by the power of God, because God has the ability to deliver me. That's how you talk when you have experience with God.
My God.
Amen.
Preach.
There's a gas station that lost its lease in our community. And it just may be that God is purposing for someone to take over that station. And see, whenever God is doing a work, the enemy will try to interfere with God, with what God is doing, because the enemy don't want any of God's people to prosper. And if he has his way, he want to kill you if he can. If he can. But this is what I want us to know. That whenever God has a purpose for his people, whatever he wants them to do, it makes no difference who comes against you. Because believe you me, people will come against you when God has a purpose for your life, for your ministry. People will talk about you. People will say you're this. People will say you ain't this, you ain't that. People will say you can't handle it. People will say you can't do it. And that's when we remember our history with God. No, you right, I can't do it. No, you right, I can't handle it. But I got a God. I got a Savior who's able. I said he's able. I said he's able. So don't be intimidated. Don't allow the enemy to put roadblocks in your way. Because if God has it for you, it's for you. And nobody can take what God has for you. He's our heavyweight champ. And there's a Christian motto that always suits our heavyweight champ. It goes like this. Never forget it. If God is for you,
no one
no one.
No one.
If God is for you, who
no one
can be against you?
No one.
Romans 8. 31, I believe. It's on your paper. I believe it's Romans 8. Let me check. I want to give you the right. Romans 8, 31. If God is for you.
Amen.
If God is for us.
Amen.
Who can be against us?
Amen.
You know the other passage that's applicable. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
Don't mean that they won't form them against you. Don't mean that they won't come against you. It's just that it won't prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, and I want somebody to know, because you say, don't think people won't talk about you. Don't think people won't try to run you down, particularly when they see God progress in your life. You know, there's some people don't want to see you do good because misery like company. Some people don't want to see God working mightily in your life. You know, because they, you know, they're envious, they're jealous. But the scripture says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to close out with one more point. No weapon. The community needs a service station. Community needs a store. Community needs a restaurant. Why not God's people? If God purposes it.
Amen.
The key is always being in the will of God. Key is always being in God's will. Finally, verses 32 and 33. In spite of this, in spite of having a history with God and God already doing things for them, you did not trust in the Lord your God. Let's not be like that, New Hope. Let's trust in the Lord our God. I'm going to be saying some things that may sound mind-boggling to you, but know God can do it.
Amen.
Know that God can do it. He's the God who went ahead of you on your journey.
Yes.
And I want somebody to know today that God doesn't only have you covered in the daytime,
Amen.
But God gets you covered at night.
Yes.
And if God has a purpose for you in the night season, at nighttime, if God has a purpose for you, God can keep you. He can keep you safe at night as well as in the day. The idea is that be in God's purpose because his purpose will keep you. Not only in the daytime, but it'll keep you at night too. For the Israelites, he was a fire by night. You know what? To show them the way, he gave them light. When everybody else was having a hard time seeing at night, he gave his people light because there were destinations he wanted them to go in during the night. And so he gave them light. He gave them fire to see by night and his protective presence going before them. And then during the day, he was a cloud leading the way in front of them. Cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The essence, the gist is that God will lead you and that God will carry you. And one of the things that the Old Testament is saying to us when it talks about God carrying them like a father carries his son is saying that God will lift your burdens.
Amen.
And take you through them.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And watch this. This is the Old Testament idea of God carrying you. What is really getting across to us is God will lift your burdens.
Yes.
And he may not necessarily remove them. Did you hear what I said? He will lift them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And take you through them. Yes. And God will handle your business.
Amen.
How many of you want God to handle your
Amen.
Business?
Amen.
God will lift it. Take you through it and handle your business.
Amen.
Here's a good word for you. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business.
Amen.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
Only believe, though. Only believe. He's going to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way. That's GPS. He's a great, powerful Savior. Do not be faithless is the word that I have on your sheet. Do not be faithful. Only believe that your great, powerful Savior, your GPS, will get you to our destination. He will get you. He will get us to our destination. I want to close by saying we got some places God wants to take us to.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God has a sight and sound theater. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that I'm trusting God to take us to, because I believe God wants us to reach out into the community in creative ways and get the community to embrace us a different way, not only in a sanctuary, but on field trips.
That's right. Yes.
Who says the church shouldn't take field trips?
Right.
I say the church should, right, especially when God sends us on them.
Amen.
And so there's a sight and sound theater that God is speaking to us. This is part of the Shaping the Bridge project, that we want to rent some buses and we want to take, as a church, invite the community and bring the community along with us, but we have to trust God. I don't want you to get scared about it. I want you to embrace by faith,
amen,
where God wants to take us.
Amen.
But then we have a church in Memphis, Tennessee that God wants to take us to. I've been saying this all along. I said this, some of you know this, about a year ago. It's called the Hope Church, Memphis, Tennessee. My wife and I had the awesome pleasure of being there for the General Assembly. I believe God took us there for us to see, my wife and I, what God can do with a church. But I want you to see it. And I want somebody to know God can take us to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, he can.
I want you to know God can take us to the Hope Church in Memphis, Tennessee, because I found out that God has places. I call it the theology of location. God has places that he wants his people to experience so that he can encourage us, so that he can instruct us, so that he can witness to us. And I believe God wants us to go. Come on, give God a praise. Would you join me on your feet? You all look so beautiful out there.